Ben, what's your favourite fire cooking technique?
Nothing fancy, just goat satay cooked over coconut husk flames in Lombok with a dude fanning the coals with a cardboard fan.
Okay. We'll put in the request to the people at Vivid Fire Kitchen, which is exactly what it sounds like. Vivid Fire Kitchen is a pop-up running as part of Vivid from May 24 to June 15 at the Goods Line in the Sydney CBD, and it's all about cooking with fire. Tandoor, teppanyaki, First Nations food, tender brisket, charred veggies and aromatic satay, to name a few.
With hand-fanned coconut husks?
No promises.
Vivid Fire Kitchen proudly sponsoring this episode of Ingridipedia.
Ben, is the paddle pop lion hot?
I'm going to say yes, because I think he looks like a late 1970s beach boy, Dennis Wilson.
Yes.
If anybody wants to look up Dennis Wilson, he was the hottest beach boy. Okay. Probably the hottest man of all time.
Interesting.
And I think the paddle pop lion was modeled on Dennis Wilson.
Well, when I was researching, I'm like, yeah, the paddle pop lion is kind of hot. But then I looked into it a bit more and people also say he looks like the lead singer of Nickelback.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, no, he's not hot.
Chad Kroeger. Yeah. He's ruining. No. No, go with Dennis Wilson, not Chad Kroeger.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, cartoons can be hot. Like, Aladdin and Jasmine are hot.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they're people.
Lions. Robin Hood. Fox Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Girls go crazy for Fox Robin Hood. I think my wife has a mad crush on Fox Robin Hood. Hi, you're listening to Ingridipedia, Australia's most refreshing food podcast. Are we? Sweetest? Most honestic?
Yeah. Or most, like, frostbitten?
Yeah, most left at the bottom of a
most milk bar, freezer,
covered in those ice crystals.
Cheapest? That's what,
yep. Australia's cheapest food podcast. I'm Ben Birchall and I'm joined by Emily Naismith. Little summer snack episode.
Yeah, we're delving into the ice cream freezer for this one, looking into Australia's kind of most iconic ice cream, I'd say, the paddle pop.
Let's do it.
Ben, what's your favourite paddle pop flavour?
Probably rainbow.
Yeah, rainbow.
Because it's like, it's just caramel, but it's coloured.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I feel like that's kind of something that people might expect us to talk about, but we're not, because that's been done to death. Everyone knows rainbow is caramel.
Yeah, everyone.
Well, I was a banana gal, but I also dabbled in rainbow because it's a beautiful, beautiful ice cream.
I'll tell you why visually. I don't go for banana.
Yeah.
It's because I feel like banana paddle pops are a poor, flavor-wise, a poor step cousin to the Barney banana.
I completely disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone always is like, if you like banana paddle pops, have you ever had a Barney banana? I'm like, yeah, I freaking have, and I prefer a banana paddle pop.
Wait, are Barney bananas still around?
I don't think so. I haven't seen one in about 15 to 20 years.
Maybe I'm just nostalgic for them. Yeah, 15. It's probably the last time I had an icy pop, to be honest.
I also liked the chocolate thick shake one in a cup that they did.
Yep.
But there have been so many flavours since Streets launched paddle pops in 1953, like choc banana, mud puddle, which was vanilla with a choc center, caramel choc chip, which was caramel with an outer layer of chocolate coating at the top. There was bionic bubble gum, which was pale blue and white. Don't know what the bionic part is.
Yeah, how was bionic?
I don't know. But then since 1999, paddle pops have been big in Malaysia and Indonesia as well. So that was after you lived there, right?
Yeah.
So you missed the paddle pop.
I miss Viennetta's, I miss paddle pops. Yep.
So you missed out on Paddle Pop Choco Lava, which was chocolate ice cream with a condensed cream center.
Oh, God.
Sounds so good. Fruit Slice Milk Melon, which was pale green and triangle shaped.
Mm-hmm.
This one sounds delicious. Mochi Choco Vanilla, which is a round vanilla mochi ice cream, like the squishy rice-based thing. And then it's got chocolate inside. And they sound so much better than what we're doing.
We're missing out.
Yep. But back to reality, we live in a world where it's basically now just chocolate banana or rainbow. And I fear that they may not be what they used to be either. Like, I have a rainbow paddle pop here. and I want to compare it to what I remember.
Okay.
So in my research, I found that people got upset in 2019 because Streets changed the recipe so that Paddle Pop could adhere to strict healthy eating guidelines for school canteens.
Mm.
So this is from an article on KidSpot. They say, quote, according to an old thread on Reddit, Streets has changed the recipe of the popular ice cream to meet new health requirements for New South Wales canteens by reducing calories and adding fibre.
Fibre? No one wants fibre in their Paddle Pop.
And the parent company of Streets, Unilever, confirmed this. Quote, we recently made a slight change to the formulation of our Paddle Pop products, which means that these products, as well as being a source of calcium, are also a source of fiber and meet a health star rating of 3.5.
That's pretty high for an icy pole.
Yeah. This puts them in line with the New South Wales school canteen requirements and reinforces our commitment to produce better snacks for children. So Paddle Pop recipe has changed so kids can eat them in school. As an adult with a food podcast, I'll now share my opinion. Let's see what they look like. Oh, it's covered in ice on
ice
one side.
Crystals. Yeah, if they're not covered in ice crystals and have been at the bottom of the milk bar fridge for like 6 months, they're not a Paddle Pop as far as I'm concerned.
And there's no blue. I remember them being blue and pink. This is kind of yellow and purple.
Yeah, exclusively with a yellow
bit
and
of
purple.
Pink.
Yeah. Disappointing colourway.
Mm. So let's give it a go. It's caramel. Hmm. Tastes really good.
Okay. So the fibre hasn't...
It's like a bit less sweet maybe, but it still tastes like caramel. I'm not really getting fibre.
That's probably good.
What are the ingredients?
Yeah, what are the ingredients? What kind of fibre have they added?
The ingredients are dairy ingredients like reconstituted skim milk and or reconstituted buttermilk, milk solids, water, cane sugar, soluble corn fibre. Oh, soluble corn fibre. And there's lots of other stuff. That
doesn't seem like it would be particularly good for you. It's giving me like high fructose corn syrup vibes. But
it kind of has like a bit of an aftertaste that isn't usually there.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really nice at the start and then you get that aftertaste. Maybe that's the corn fibre. Mm. Well, I mean, I'd still be very happy to eat this at a school. So I reckon they've actually done the right thing.
Okay. All right. Supported by adult podcasters. Questionably adult podcasters. Emily, thank you. Yes, Paddle Pops are the cultural touchstone kind of iced lolly, icy pole in Australia, right? It's, you know, as you mentioned, founded in 1953. It's Streets Ice Cream's biggest volume item. It's available in a number of countries, including Indonesia, where they have those wild flavours like chocolate lava. But to me, the biggest effect on culture that the Paddle Pop has is not the ice cream itself, but what you hold the ice cream with.
That's true. The stick.
Emily, what do you call... A stick, an ice cream stick.
Yeah, I guess a Paddle Pop stick.
I call it a Paddle Pop stick too.
That's so interesting, isn't it? Because that's a brand name.
It's a brand name. And even though I would call a generic ice cream or ice confection on a stick an icy pole, I'd say,
yes.
Does anybody want an icy pole, even if you were getting a Paddle Pop or you were getting a Magnum or you're getting an icy pole?
Yeah.
Or one of those cyclone things or whatever it is, I'd still call it an icy pole. But I still... Like, I don't call it an icy pole stick. I call it a Paddle Pop stick.
Yeah. I would sometimes shorten to stick, but in my head I'm thinking Paddle Pop stick.
Yeah. So that's what we call it. And maybe it's a Victorian and New South Wales thing where Paddle Pops are bigger and they did start in Melbourne. But what do people in the rest of Australia and the rest of the world call them if not Paddle Pop sticks? And I should say that America, it's a pretty easy answer because the idea of an ice confection on a stick actually came from the founder of the brand Popsicles.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is from the MIT website. I guess maybe Frank Epperson, the founder of Popsicles, went to MIT or something. So this is where an ice cream on a stick came from, an ice lolly, an ice confection on a stick. One San Francisco winter night in 1905, 11-year-old Popsicle founder Frank Epperson mixed a soft drink made with soda water powder and water, a popular concoction at the time. He left a stirring stick in it and mistakenly left it on the porch overnight, where it froze. Epperson found the fruit-flavoured substance frozen to the stick when he awoke the next morning, as temperatures had dropped to record lows during the night. More than 18 years later, in 1923, Epperson decided to apply for a patent on his frozen ice on a stick. So yes, in America, they're known as popsicle sticks because that's the main brand of icy poles. According to Wikipedia, they might also just be known as craft sticks.
Oh yeah, as
people
in
use
like
them for crafting.
C-R-A-F-T.
Yes, not with a K. So they're either popsicle sticks or craft sticks in the States. I've also dug a little deeper. There was a tweet from an American Twitch streamer called Small Ant, which caused a lot of debate in 2020 sometime. Okay, so apparently popsicles are called icy poles in Australia. What do they call the popsicle sticks? Icy pole sticks? Which is a good question, because you would think that that would be the case. But no, we call them paddle pop sticks. Or Emily, you and I do. Somebody claiming to be Australian said, everyone calls them different things, but I call them icy poles and the sticks are pop sticks.
No one's ever said that here in Australia.
A pop stick. No. One responder said, over here in England, it's called an ice lolly and it's a lolly stick, which I think you're kind of losing the...
I would think like chopper chop.
Well, yeah, a lolly stick, you'd be thinking a lollipop stick. Unrelated, have you ever wondered what wood paddle pop sticks are made of?
Ooh.
Well, wonder no more. According to the wood supply chain company E.W. Hanners, though it can vary from company to company, popsicle sticks are typically made of birch wood. Occasionally
That's
plastic
actually
or
high
another
quality.
Type. Of, yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's because it's got to be food grade.
Yeah, right.
It says
they do taste good to chew on, which is what I always used to do.
It's accessible and sustainable, and its unique properties are well suited for use alongside food items.
I don't even put that in my pizza oven. I get like non-food grade wood in my pizza oven.
Oh yeah,
well, can't afford birch.
No, you just God no. You're not going to be burning birch in that thing.
Treated kindling.
Yeah,
like. Coated in all sorts of disgusting
just the
things.
Treating makes the pizza taste better. Anyway, whatever the wood, it's wild to me that an item so universal as a paddle pop stick or an icy pole stick or a craft stick or a popsicle stick has no universal name. Maybe we need our listeners to come up with one.
Yeah.
Or maybe we need them to set us straight about what they call them.
Yeah. We should do a little poll.
I think a little poll because it's pretty crazy that brand names own the naming device to this thing.
Yeah.
This little rounded, flat stick.
Kids are making boats out there talking about paddle pops in the classroom.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's a good marketing. Well done, Streets.
That's our Paddle Pop episode. You can vote for whose little Paddle Pop fact you found the most interesting on our Instagram. It's in Greetapedia. See you next time. Ben, I can smell smoke. Did you finally kill every appliance in this studio?
No, Em, that's just the waft of perfectly smoking embers from Vivid Fire Kitchen, which is exactly what it sounds like. A pop-up kitchen running as part of Vivid from May 24 to June 15 at the Goods Line in the Sydney CBD, and it's all about cooking with fire. Tandoor, teppanyaki, First Nations food, tender brisket, charred veggies, and aromatic satay, to name a few.
That sounds a lot better than your jaffles, Ben. No offence.
Offence taken.
Vivid Fire Kitchen, proudly sponsoring this episode of Ingridipedia.